chapter 33. Matameo was awakened by the sound of the night guards. Bagai and Skinpoor were on duty, and they walked past the sleeping captives, conversing in low, earnest tones. The young mouse could not hear what was said, though he strained his ears to catch any hint as to their eventual destination.
Matty, are you awake?
Only just, Tess. Keep your voice down. The rest are still asleep.
Is anything the matter?
The church mouse asked.
Yes and no,
he replied.
I was trying to hear what the guards were talking about. They've seemed very edgy since we left the forest and hills where Stonefleck and his rats live.
That's strange. I noticed the same thing last night before we camped down here. They're all so silent and uneasy, even Slagar.
Matameo raised his head, taking in the scene around him. The earth was flat, dry and dusty. No trees grew, and there was little sign of any grass, shrubs or greenery. It was a dusty brown desolation, stretching out before them.
I tell you, Tess, I don't like it myself. This far south, Mossflower Country is very odd. Listen, you can't even hear a single bird singing. What sort of land is it where even the birds cannot live?
Young Jube, the hedgehog, stirred in his sleep. He whimpered and turned restlessly. Tess passed her paw gently over his head spikes, and he settled down into a quiet slumber.
Poor little Jube,
she said sympathetically.
He used to be so confident that his father would rescue him and treated the whole thing as if he were only along with us for part of the journey. I'm worried about him. He's so thin and sad-looking these days.
Matameo smiled at the church mouse.
You sounded just like your mum then, Tess. Always fussing and worrying over some young one. You're right, though. Jube isn't his old self anymore. In fact, none of us are. We're much thinner and older. I'm not surprised, after all we've been through since that night of the feast at Redwall.
Tess looked at her habit. It was torn, dusty and stained.
It all seems so long ago. I think we've grown up a lot since then. Oh well, the main thing is that we're still together. We've made friends too. Look at Orma. I couldn't imagine life without Hare and Jube anymore.
Slavers and captives alike began wakening. Matameo winked at Tess and smiled as cheerfully as he could.
We'll come through it all. You wait and see,
he said comfortingly.
Another nice sunny day for a walk, eh, Tess? I wonder where old Slagar is taking us today. Nut gathering? Picnicking? What do you think?
Tess stood up, looking a bit more like her old self.
Oh, I think we'd better just stay with the rest and have a nice ramble,
she chuckled.
What about you? Would you like to play follow my leader? Or should I say, follow my Slagar? Come on, Mouse, pick up your daisy chain and let's go.
Bagai checked their manacles, muttering in a sullen voice.
Don't know what you two have got to laugh about.
Orlando waded ashore, towing the raft behind him. It had been a hard and dangerous night, fighting their way out of the main current back into the shallows. The crew had poled the raft into a small bay. Wet and weary, they stumbled onto dry land in the pale dawn light, shivering after their night-long ordeal on the swift, choppy river. Basil slicked water from his long, drooping ears.
Oh, here's one old soldier who won't complain when the sun starts getting hot. No chance of a bite of breakfast, I suppose.
Matthias dried his sword carefully on a tussock of grass.
No chance at all, old soldier. Those rats will be dashing along the banks right now, hoping they'll catch up with us. We'd better move fast if we want to stay alive. Logalog, you and Cheek tow the raft out a bit. The current will carry it away. No sense leaving it here as a marker where we came ashore. Jess, Jabez, would you take the rear and try to cover our tracks from the bank? Leave them as few clues as possible. It may buy us a bit of time.
Jess Squiddle bounded up a nearby tree, took a quick look round and descended speedily.
Matthias, we'd better hurry,
she urged.
I could see movement in the bushes further up the bank. If we stay here much longer, we're going to have company.
Right, Jess. Come on, everybody. Keep me in sight. I'm going to take a curve and sweep into these trees. Then, with a bit of luck, we'll circle south and miss the rats. Hurry now. Let's get out of here.
An arrow bedded in the ground. It stood quivering a fraction from Orlando, who kicked it into the river.
That's the trouble with being my size. You make a good target. Let's run for it.
The rat advanced scout fired a whistling arrow upwards to alert the main body. Stormfleck turned in its direction.
They're trying to head south through the trees. Follow me. We'll cut them off.
He set off at a tangent, cutting into the woodland to outflank Matthias. Morning sunlight slanted into the trees as swarms of rats ran silently, keeping abreast of their leader. Stormfleck halted on a sloping hillside and listened carefully. They were coming. Nodding to his followers, he dropped down behind an oak. The rats spread themselves among the other trees, notching arrows onto bowstrings. He could not have timed it better. The woodlanders came hurrying through the forest below, looking back over their shoulders to see if they were being pursued.